During this last half term, we took our youngest granddaughter and a friend to Chartwell, which was, of course, Winston Churchill's home, now owned by the National Trust. In the grounds was an activity trail, and when they'd collected all the clues, we went to the cafe for a drink. And as we were deciding what to have, a man walked up to me and asked, "Is your name Merv?" I said it was, but I was sorry I couldn't identify my inquirer. "Nigel," he said, "Nigel Herndon." "Of course," I said, "I didn't recognise you, you've grown a beard." Nigel had been a member of my church in Croydon, and I hadn't seen him since we'd left over 20 years ago. I was so pleased he'd taken the risk to ask, and as I reflected, was really delighted that he'd remembered my name. Names are important. They identify us. Do you remember as a child being given a soft toy and quite possibly giving it some name? And likewise, if we have a pet, a dog, cat, rabbit, or whatever, we choose a name for it gives it identity. And one thing new parents have to do is to choose a name for their baby. It may come from a list of names both parents like, or perhaps knowing someone else they like with the name. There may be family influences with the name to have some continuity in the family line. My father's name was Ernest Carlisle Hayes. I'm really glad they didn't give me any of that lot. Absolutely thrilled. There are also names that come into fashion, like Kylie, and are popular at a particular time. But older names are coming back into fashion, aren't they? Like Harry. But a name gives is personal and gives identity. And some names, when spoken, immediately comes up positive thoughts like Rolex or Gucci or Cartier. They have a reputation for quality. It's a name you can trust. But other names create negative thoughts like Adolf. And names are especially meaningful when you move into the world of the Bible. Genesis tells us God gave Adam responsibility to name all the livestock that he'd created. God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And when God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a son, which they thought was impossible because they were too old, they laughed. When God's promise came to fruition and they had a son in their old age, they named him Isaac, which means he laughed. Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, which means a rock. He, of course, as we know, had his wobbly moments, but Jesus saw his potential and was there to help him live up to his name. If our names are important to us, how much more so is God's name, which we have not given to him, but he has revealed to us, as we heard in the reading Liz read to us from Exodus about Moses. Moses was doing what a good shepherd would do, looking after his sheep, and leads them to find the best pasture and supply of water. And here it's in the wilderness of Horeb, a mountain where later he would receive the Ten Commandments. Anyway, Moses' attention is caught by a bush that appeared to be burning. And curious, he went to take a look. And there God spoke to him. Sometimes God uses dramatic and unusual things to get our attention. Moses approached, but he's told to take off his sandals and come no closer, for the place he was standing was holy ground. And then God identified himself. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, knowing he was in the presence of the God who had been involved with his family, but also with his ancestors, turned his face away, for he was awestruck. God then tells Moses, he's heard the cry of his people being oppressed and harshly treated by the Egyptians under Pharaoh. And he will rescue them, for he had made a promise they would enter Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. And of course, God keeps his promises. And I'm sure all this sounded good to Moses, but then came the bombshell. So I'm sending you to Pharaoh, says God, to bring the Egyptians out of Egypt, to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses' reply is to imply he's totally inadequate for the task. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses, I'm sure, could have given a list of reasons why he wasn't suitable, as I'm sure there may be times we may not feel up to what God may ask of us. But God made a promise to Moses, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses would need to step out in faith on the basis of trusting God's promise to him. Well, okay, Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites. I'm not saying I'm going, but suppose I was to say I'm going. And they say, ask, who has sent you? What should I say? And God replies to say, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The Israelites called God by his personal name, spelt with four consonants. W-H-Y-H, Yahweh, which is a form of I am. But they treated the name with such respect that they would avoid using it in case it was misused. So in our translations of the Bible, Yahweh or Jehovah is replaced by the Lord. The point to grasp here is that God's name is to be honored. The I am, or I will be with you, I will be what I will be, speaks of his self-sufficiency and his faithfulness and unchangeable nature. God is almighty, the creator, powerful, loving. But Jesus invites us to call God our Father, which invites intimacy. But in the same prayer says, hallowed or holy be his name. I had a daydream moment and wondered, would it matter if this commandment, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, was not there? And it would, for just like someone produces a new product and gives it a name, the name will be registered so as to protect it. So this commandment is there to protect God's name, for his name stands for something and expresses something of his character and should be treated and respected and reverenced with dignity. It needs to be handled with care. I think it's interesting, on our televisions, they will bleep out swear words, but not the misuse of God's name. We hear God's name used as an expletive all the time. It's not always blasphemy in the sense of someone expressing deliberate contempt for God, but it is a misuse. I wonder, does hearing God's name used so much in everyday conversation make us desensitized to its misuse? Is our reaction different when we hear Jesus or Christ's name used as a swear word? I know I react differently to that, with shock and hurt, but it should be the same whenever I hear God's name taken in vain, as the Authorized Version of the Bible puts it. I wonder if you ever want to say something when you hear God or Jesus' name misused, because he means so much to you. But how do you do it in a way that expresses the importance of God to us? This is a difficult area, but especially with close family and friends. And I think we need to pray for wisdom so as to express our upset and allowing the person to think about what they are saying. So you could say something like, "You know, I'm a Christian, and hearing you use God's name as you do, I find really difficult. My experience is most people are apologetic because they hadn't ever stopped to think what they were saying, that it could in any way be offensive." There was a lovely man called Dixie that I knew, who in the days when they had pump attendants at garages pulled in for petrol. And the attendant was struggling to get the petrol cap off and said, "God, this is stiff." And Dixie said, "Let me try." And removing it said, "And God gives me strength to remove it." If you found ways of tackling this issue, I'd love to hear your experience of it. If we're to take God seriously and honour his name, then we're not to swear by his name. We, I'm sure, would not want to disrespect God by misusing his name, which is a good reason to be careful with our language. So it may be someone shares something that shocks, and the response is, "God, that's awful." Or in response to some surprising news, the response is, "Oh my God." Sometimes we can fall foul of this commandment unwittingly. God's name becomes an expletive. We heard in the reading from Matthew that Jesus takes this further. For to swear something by Almighty God and then break the promise is to swear falsely. And of course, too, betrays a serious lack of regard for God's name. Because of this, some of Jesus' contemporaries looked for a formula to use when taking oaths. It would seem they argued that although one must keep an oath taken in God's name, it didn't matter so much if they swore by heaven or by earth. But Jesus rejected that distinction, pointing out that heaven is God's throne and earth his footstool. So even these expressions contained implicit reference to God. People today may swear on their mother's life, but again, God is involved, for it's God who gives life. Jesus says oaths are not necessary for honest people who are known to keep their word. Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and your no, no." We can, of course, misuse God's name in other ways. We can use his name to manipulate or give substance to what we want. "The Lord's telling me," someone may say. Well, he may be, he may not be. It needs testing. We're not to use God's name for our own ends. J. John in his book entitles this, "Don't name drop with God." Another way we can fail to show reverence to God's name is when we don't give him the glory. There are athletes who win races and when interviewed say, "I just thank God for the talent he's given me." All that we have is a gift from God, and in humility need to ensure the praise and glory goes to him, and his name is honored. And finally, to say we can dishonor God's name when our lives don't match up to all he asks of us. When as Christians we say one thing in church and do the opposite outside. And so we can dishonor God's name by our actions, when we gossip or are unkind, self-centered, or are judgmental, when we're not straightforward in our business dealings, and so on. Well, if it's the case, you perhaps have become aware of an area where you've misused God's name, and just take a moment to confess to God and ask his forgiveness in and through the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour who died for us. And of course, the antidote to wrong use is right use. And as I close, I trust you can see that this commandment is more than blasphemy. For there are many ways God's name can be misused. It needs to be handled with care. And we need to take God's name seriously. Perhaps I could suggest in this season of Lent that you think and reflect on how you use God's name. That in all we say and do, we may give reverence, respect, and glory to the name of God, who is the great I Am. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us as the great I Am, and for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Help us in our speech and actions to honour your name, and give us courage to speak up for your name when we feel offended by its misuse. And we ask in and through the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.